RNN.
Well, we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means.
Connecting the Dots with Dan Happel.
Tonight's featured show is Connecting the Dots with Dan Happel. Welcome.
Well, thank you, Kelby. And tonight we have Holly Swanson. Holly's been our guest on this radio show before, but it's been a while on the Republic News Network. And I thought it was with all the school shootings and all the things that have been going on that we've been hearing so much about in the news lately, it seemed like a very appropriate time to get Holly back on and talk about just exactly what has been happening with the American education system. Holly, I welcome you to the show, and I want you to give just a little bit of brief history to our listeners, the ones that haven't heard you before, to explain just exactly how you got involved in this movement and a little bit about your organization, and then we can move into the topic of modern education in the public school system.
Okay, thank you very much. I'm delighted to join you this evening. And my involvement began probably in the late 80s, early 90s. And being from the Pacific Northwest, that was a time when we were, just as the general public, hearing about wilderness areas and spotted owls and logging. And I wanted to know more about this issue because I, like every American, I believe, cares about the environment, loves the great outdoors. And depending on whom you spoke to, you would get two distinct opinions or viewpoints on these issues, wilderness, spotted owls, logging. And so I decided to attend some environmental conferences to learn more about the issue, what was going on. To my surprise, at those conferences, I found a very politicized agenda. There was information from the Green Party out in the foyer, the Socialist Party, right along with the Sierra Club and the National Wildlife Federation. At the time, I did not understand the connection. I took away lots of information from multiple conferences I attended, and the more I read, the more concerned I became, because it became very clear that the agenda the environmental movement was advancing matched, aligned, the agenda of the Green Party, which, of course, the Green Party in Oregon joined the Socialist Party in Oregon back in 1998. So that's the general premise, Socialist, Communist, Green Party agenda behind the environmental movement. I became very concerned about that, and as the years progressed, I noted the complete concentration on teaching our children to adopt this mindset, this an agenda, as part of environmental education. And the clincher is the We Choose Freedom campaign is all about, and that's the campaign that I founded and organized and I'm the national director of, the We Choose Freedom campaign is focused on exposing the political agenda of the environmental movement, that it is a biased political agenda, and the purpose of environmental education at this point in time is to politically indoctrinate our children to adopt communism as an environmental goal under the pretense of teaching climate change curriculum or environmental literacy, environmental science. And so we have a tremendous problem in our school system with the indoctrination of America's children.
Oh, I agree. I agree completely. And I know that people that have been following this closely recognize that the Green Movement really gained strength about the time that the Communist movement started to move underground. And when I say that, I mean that the communists started to, well, they realized they couldn't win the war against capitalism openly, so they had to find a vehicle, a venue, an avenue that they could follow that would allow them to get indoctrinate our youth. And that's that was on our outline for the program tonight, was that Joseph Stalin, one of the things that he targeted was American education. And he said that if we can take the minds of the youth, we can control the country. And that's exactly what they've been trying to do through the environmental movement. Holly, would you kind of give our listeners a little bit of historical background? I mean, this has been going on for 100 years, and I know you and I have talked about this, that John Dewey, the father of modern progressive education, he started this movement clear back around the turn of the 20th century, so over 100 years ago. Can you give our listeners maybe a little bit of background on how the foundations and different organizations have been really funneling a lot of money into the education system to get a collectivist mentality in our teachers' colleges and therefore in our schools?
Oh, absolutely. And just to go back to what you mentioned about John Dewey, there's just a couple of points I'd like to make on that. One of John Dewey's key points, key goals, was to use the educational system as a way to push, force, enact social change. So, in other words, use the educational system to indoctrinate the children, train the children to advance a social agenda that perhaps the children, well, the people, the parents, didn't or were not aware of, but the teachers would push this forward and use the schools where they had a captive audience to impose this mindset of social change on the children. It's very important to also know that John Dewey was one of the architects of the Humanist Manifesto. And the idea of humanism, as most listeners will know, is the idea that God does not exist. Man, you know, makes his own way. God does not exist. And the environmental message being taught in our schools right now is a humanist agenda under the pretense of environmental education. So those two points about Dewey are very, very important. Now, how did this agenda be advanced and how can you see it today in our school systems? As we are approaching Earth Day, that is one of the main tools the environmental movement has used. And the environmental movement represents definitely a communist agenda. There's no question about it, and it aligns with the Green Party agenda, which I'll get into in a second, where that connection is. But the Earth Day Network, Earth Day came onto the scene in 1970, April 22nd, 1970. And what's interesting about Earth Day is that Earth Day went from being an event in Washington, D.C., to being a mainstay in our public school system. And it is a way to basically celebrate the Earth, celebrate humanism, celebrate the environmental agenda, now not just one day, April 22nd, but you have Earth Day, Earth Week, Earth Month. And one of the things that is occurring in 2018 and started in 2016 is the Climate Education Week. And Climate Education Week precedes Earth Day, and it is from April 16th to April 22nd. And again, it's another way to provide teachers with curriculum that imposes this agenda, this political agenda, on our children. So what started out with a seemingly innocent reduce, reuse, and recycle message, again, seemingly innocent, has now a lot of political strings attached to it. It is designed to force, and that's the right word, force our children to conform, because they're in school where they're basically taught by their parents that they go to school, you listen to your teachers, you learn. And so basically the use of the schools is a tool, a political tool, to force this agenda on our children, force them to submit to the environmental demands and conform to a group think, as I said, that matches the political mindset of the environmental or the green movement. And what's important to note about that is this is the communist model of education. It is to take the classroom and use every subject every day. They did it in Russia, have done it in Cuba, and use every subject every day to impose a groupthink mindset, one political mindset, one political standard on the children. And this is what we're seeing the environmental movement impose in the United States now. It's a national political indoctrination program under the pretense of alleged nonpartisan environmental education. So that is how it has infiltrated our schools, because we all care about the environment, and it's been presented as environmental education, nonpartisan environmental education, when in reality it's completely partisan.
Right,
and it's very damaging to teach our children to adopt communism as an environmental goal. That's very harmful.
Well, and obviously education now is more about training workers and less about critical thinking and classical education that we used to have 50 or 100 years ago. It is
absolutely.
It's about workers, but they're using the environmental education as a kind of a way to make that popular, make that sound really good, and give us a little bit of the history of the green movement, if you would.
Sure. And, you know, what you're saying is just so very true, Dan, because it makes it with the environment. Everybody cares about the environment. Nobody's against the environment. So it's a perfect tool to walk in the school door and start doing something that nobody understands, using it for a political agenda, to advance a political agenda. The history of this goes back, way back, as you said, way back to Dewey. But as you come forward to see how the environmental movement is involved, around 1963, Cleon Skousen, a former FBI agent for 16 years who specialized in the political agenda of the Communist Party, he wrote or included in the Congressional Record in January 1963 45 goals of the Communist Party. And those goals have become infamous. One of those goals was to infiltrate our school system, get control of curriculum, and soften the curriculum and get the party line in the curriculum. And realistically, this is exactly what we're seeing happen. It is what the Communist Party planned to do in 1963, and we're seeing it happen right now before our eyes. There's been a lot of work in between to set it up. Gus Hall, who was the former chairman of the Communist Party for decades, said, we must be the leaders and the organizers of the environmental movement. And that was in 1972. Right around 1972 as well, the Ecologist magazine published an article, and basically the article was the entire content of that issue of the Ecologist magazine, which was specifically designed to educate the first United Nations Environmental Conference on environmental goals, suggested environmental goals. And that particular report that was included in the Ecologist magazine was called the Blueprint for Survival. This is so very important because in 1972, this was presented, this magazine was passed out to the United Nations Environmental Summit leaders. In addition, after that, it became the go-to text for the environmental movement. In other words, if the environmental movement needed an idea to advance, they could go to the Blueprint for Survival and have those ideas right there laid out for them, which included sustainability, which included targeting youth. And it's so important to read this particular quote. This is from page 129 in Training for Treason, the book I wrote exposing this. In the Blueprint for Survival, one of the goals for education was, and it states, it is self-evident that no amount of legislative, administrative, or industrial change will create stable communities if the individuals who are meant to comprise them are not fitted for them. And they're talking about their agenda for education. As soon as the best means of inculcating, which means brainwashing, the values of the stable society, which means sustainable society, have been agreed upon, they should be incorporated into our educational system. And that was back in 1972. And then it follows up to say, it may not be until the generation of 40 to 50-year-olds have been educated in these values that stable or sustainable communities will achieve sufficient acceptance for them to be permanently useful. Now, this is exactly what has happened. We are seeing students now in their 20s, 30s, 40s who have been educated in this mindset, this environmental mindset from the blueprint, and the whole idea is to get the students to conform and submit to the environmental agenda so they can fit right into these sustainable communities and not think critically, as you were just talking about, Nan, not object to a communist agenda, just go forward in groupthink. And what's so very important to understand about this as well is not only did the blueprint for survival with all these ideas for a sustainable community, including brainwashing our children and indoctrinating our children, not only did the blueprint become the go-to text for the environmental movement, it became the foundational document for the Green Party. So the reason that I started to notice, and I didn't know it at the time, but the reason I started to notice the environmental movement's agenda mirrored, matched, aligned with the agenda of the Green Party is because Blueprint for Survival laid out the agenda and both of these movements adopted it. And now, interestingly enough, but not by coincidence, you have the Green Movement, the Green Environmental Movement, and it aligns directly with the Green Party, and you have the greening of our schools, and it all ties in to a very subtle way to trick, hoodwink the American people into accepting environmental education as a standard nationally when it really is a political indoctrination program. That's why it's so important for the American people to understand the political agenda of the environmental movement so we can recognize it and we can get it out of our schools. It's imperative. If we lose our children to political indoctrination, to accept communism, we lose our nation to communist rule. We lose our children, we lose our nation. It's that simple, and this is why the Greens have gone back to school, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know you've done a lot of study on this, but the Reese Commission, the fact that a congressional commission went in to find out about the funding of education through tax-exempt foundations, and they came to the conclusion that the tax-exempt foundations were trying to force communism in our school system. Tell our listeners a little about the Reese Commission.
Well, I think, you know, what you're talking about, I was just thinking that there's so many different specifics, and I'm not completely versed in the Reese Commission report, so I would ask you to outline that. I've studied really the environmental agenda, but not the Reese report specifically.
Okay. Well, the Reese Commission, and it was a senator from, I believe, from Kansas. Anyway, was commissioned to put together a commission to study how the tax-exempt foundations were changing the dynamic of modern American education. And he had a young lady who was an attorney who was given access to all the records of the various foundations and went in and actually studied those different foundation documents and came out understanding that the various foundations were trying to get the American capitalist system and the Soviet communist system to meld into a common one-world perspective. And, of course, that's global government comes from that.
Exactly.
And that commission was in the 1950s. So And there is testimony. There was testimony before Congress. Incidentally, it got dropped. I'm not sure why. But then Carol Reese, the senator from Kansas, also was mysteriously killed in an auto accident. And so the commission just died. And it never went anywhere. And so... and then, of course, we fast forward into the 60s and 70s, and I have to mention the Club of Rome. And the book that came out of the Club of Rome report on, they did a study to try to determine how they could unite the world's people in a common cause that would get people working together and get people to be, let's say, more interested in world government. And when they did this study, when they did this report, they came to the conclusion that the environmental movement would be an excellent way to move forward with that. They studied things like space aliens, you know, trying to unite people around the idea that we were going to be attacked from space, and any number of really bizarre things.
Exactly.
But the thing that they came to, the ultimate conclusion, was that they could use environmentalism because that's something that's very ill-defined. It's constantly changing, and so it's something that they could focus on without having to worry about being totally disproven.
Exactly.
And then that's why they focused on the environmental movement, and that limits to growth. I think the book, the report, came out in about 72, and that's right in line with what you're talking about.
Exactly.
With the UN. So.
And they got all their kind of got their ducks in a row, and in fact, in the book Set Up and Sold Out, the first book I wrote on the special committee, the House Special Committee on Tax-Exempt Foundations. The director of that was Norman Dodd. And
right.
Norman Dodd learned during a meeting with H. Rowan Gaither, who was then the president of the Ford Foundation, and this is documented again, but H. Rowan Gaither, again, the president of the Ford Foundation in 1953, said, we shall use our grant-making power to so alter our life in the United States that we can be comfortably merged with the Soviet Union. So it's right hand in glove with what you're talking about. And this is the point is that, you know, the ideas and the goings on that have been occurring behind closed doors, not publicized by the environmental movement to the American people, it is a violation of the public trust. But they the claim to be nonpartisan is absolutely false. The environmental movement is a political movement, is advancing a communist agenda under the pretense of protecting the environment, which goes right in line with what you're talking about, the dates, the times, and here we are.
Yeah, and I don't think, Holly, that most people have been paying close enough attention to be able to connect all those different dates. But if you do follow the history and you do a lot of reading and a lot of research like you've done, they literally flow from one event to another to another to another in a perfect harmony, perfect, connecting the dots.
Exactly. And the general message that I would like to share that all of us need, I think, to take to heart is the political agenda is clear. It's now defined. It's documented. It is communism. And even the Communist Party of the United States calls for socialism, USA. The Communist Party doesn't use the word communism because of such a negative connotation. So what is being presented is the idea of a social change, a social movement, and the environmental movement has done a terrific job of, just like you're talking about, expanding just a little bit at a time to where now it's not just an environmental issue such as we need to clean up a stream, It is social justice. It is environmental mm-hmm. justice. It is climate justice. And now where the direction that is going now is that our students must be taught to be political activists so that they're all fighting for social justice and environmental justice. And as I said earlier, what I think is so very important to understand is those words do not mean what we might think they mean. Social mm-hmm. justice to many means helping the poor, the vulnerable. But that's not what social justice means as defined by the environmental movement. And for instance, in Portland, Oregon, a climate change resolution, we've talked about this before, was enacted in 2016. And that climate change resolution enacted by the largest school district in Oregon, serving 49,000 students, pre-K through high school, the goal was that the Portland Public School System will abandon the use of any adopted text material that is found to express doubt about the severity of the climate crisis or its root in human activities. Now, that means that in Portland, Oregon, 49,000 students are going to learn from 2016 forward that climate change is man-made, there is no question, that the root of the cause is basically the free market, capitalism, as you were mentioning earlier, and that there are specific steps that need to be taken, such as the end of the fossil fuel era, that a change in the free market structure, a change in capitalism, can't have that, and to have all students become social justice activists. And here's where you have a supreme example of political indoctrination. Social justice, as defined by the environmental education movement, it's all part of the same movement, is that social justice is achieving equality in the distribution of goods and wealth among all groups in society. That is a definition of communism, and it is confirmed, I documented it, the mm-hmm. the CIA, the Central Intelligence Agency of the United States, defines a communist form of government as a system of government in which the state plans and controls the economy. You don't have a free market. And then it says it one party holds power, and the elimination of private ownership of property or capital while claiming to make progress toward a higher social order. And then it says, as another definition of a communist form of government, all goods are equally shared by the people. So you cannot accumulate wealth, and all goods are equally shared by the people. So the definition of social justice and the definition by the CIA of a communist form of government match. And the idea that we need to create a socially just future also matches the CIA definition of a communist form of government, because the idea is you eliminate the private ownership of property while claiming to make progress toward a higher social order. This is exactly mm-hmm. what is happening. It is a claim, a false claim, that we're going to create utopia, a wonderful, sustainable society based on social justice and environmental justice. And the bottom line is that new social order or a higher social order is communism, and we have learned over and over and over that communism does not work. It doesn't free people. It just oppresses all people. Right. And this is what is being taught, and children in Portland, Oregon, are learning to adopt communism as an environmental goal. This is exactly what is happening. And as we approach Earth Day, the Earth Day Network has stated that they believe the Portland Public School Resolution, removal of materials that deny climate change, should be implemented nationwide. So the Earth Day Network, the National Education Association, are right on board to take the Portland Climate Change Resolution, the idea of training our children to be social justice activists, basically a sneaky way to slip teaching communism in our public schools, and mm-hmm. move it nationwide. So we all need to understand this. The facts are there. And again, I can't stress it enough, if we lose our children to communist indoctrination and they adopt communism as an environmental goal, then we lose our nation to communist rule. I mean, Abraham Lincoln said it best. The philosophy of the classroom in one generation will be the philosophy of the government in the next. So this affects each and every one of us, whether we have a child in school or not.
No, I agree. I agree. And I'm going to do a quote by Mikhail Gorbachev, and this was quoted in a special report under the Weilands Project, It's War on Mankind. And this was Marilyn Brannan, associate editor of Monetary and Economic Review, in 1996. And this is a quote by Mr. Gorbachev, quote, "The threat of environmental crisis will be the international disaster key that will unlock the New World Order." Well, unquote. And that New World Order, obviously, is a New World Order under a communist socialist system.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And incidentally, I want people to understand something, that Mikhail Gorbachev, he was a very hardcore communist. I mean, he had a very soft approach to, let's say, negotiations with President Reagan and President Bush, but he was very definitely a communist. And after he was deposed as the premier of the Soviet Union under communism, he was given millions of dollars by the Ford and Rockefeller Foundation, as well as other foundations, to fund the Gorbachev Foundation. And that is the foundation that is the parent of Green Cross, the most respected environmental organization in the world. What a wonderful way for him to be the kind of a chameleon politically, where when he's deposed as a communist dictator, then all of a sudden he's the head of the environmental movement. It's amazing.
It is amazing, but it is exactly what I was flashing back to was what you said about connecting the dots. When you look at the time mm-hmm. frames and you look at what was said and how it's clicked right along, it's very obvious if you look at it why he would be there, because he takes that subtle approach to soft approach to talking about communism, and he brought that right to the environmental movement, who completely mm-hmm. embraced his idea. And he talks about, I mean, I've documented this in Set Up and Sold Out as well as in Training for Treason, that he's talking about green politics. He's talking about man is part of nature. Well, back to Dewey, one of the second, actually, goal of the Humanist Manifesto is that man is part of nature. Man is not to be a steward of nature, basically, given dominion over nature to take care of, but man is part of nature, which takes it to the point of the non-existence of God. And so that is a huge part of what's being taught in our schools today under the pretense, again, of environmental literacy. And this is something that, just as you said, in a very smooth, soft way, Gorbachev has been selling these concepts as a matter of green politics for the environment. Man is part of nature, sustainability, social justice, all of it has been incorporated into the document that he co-authored, which is the Earth Charter. And the Earth Charter is basically, it is basically like a blueprint for the global government. The idea is that it is adopted as a treaty, therefore it would supplant the U.S. Constitution. It would become the supreme law of our land if it was adopted as a United Nations treaty. And most of the main environmental groups, as well as the environmental education groups, have endorsed, signed on to, including the Earth Day Network, the Sierra Club, Second Nature, multiple others, signed on to endorse Mikhail Gorbachev's Earth Charter. So right now, it doesn't have to become a United Nations treaty, adopted by the United States Senate, as long as our children learn that that is the way to go and that's the only way to fly. It doesn't need to be adopted. They will simply submit and conform and accept that type of rule.
Oh, exactly, exactly. And that's what our system right now is promoting. Holly, before the show came on the air, you and I were talking, and you were telling about something that was in the news today about the Oregon school system. Would you like to tell our listeners about the Ninth Circuit Court and what just happened today?
Well, actually, and this is in the Daily Caller. You can look up the article, dailycaller.com, and it's titled, "The Ninth Circuit Court Just Allowed Children to Sue Trump Over Global Warming." The Ninth Circuit Court just allowed children to sue Trump over global warming. And this came out March 7th, and I'll just read just a couple of points here. A federal appeals court ruled Wednesday in favor of 21 children and young adults suing the United States government for not doing enough to protect their constitutional right to a stable climate. Then, and this, of course, is in Oregon, and it also states the ruling is a victory for environmental activists seeking to use the courts to force the Trump administration to issue regulations to phase out fossil fuels. And the Julia Olson, our Children's Trust chief counsel, said the ruling gives a green light for the trial. And Olson's case on behalf of the youngsters argues constitutional rights to life, liberty, and property are being violated by the federal government's failure to enact policies to stop catastrophic global warming. And what is so very important to understand about this case is the environmental groups have used the courts to impose their agenda for decades. We are all pretty much aware of that. The importance of this is a precedent-setting case for the environmental movement to basically manipulate and use these 21 children to basically shield the effort to make the agenda of the environmental movement a children's right. So in other words, if this case goes through and there's a victory, then any of the environmental agenda can be imposed through the court system as a child's right. It has nothing to do with child's rights. The goal has nothing to do with child's rights. It is all about using the children again, just like in the school system, to advance the agenda of the environmental movement. And these 21 youngsters, literally, it is a ridiculous situation to even consider this, in my humble opinion, because it's very clear the environmental movement is behind this, not those youngsters. And this idea, you know, of suing the Trump administration is just a way to set a precedent and then use it to walk this across nationally and get any environmental goal through as a child's right.
Yeah, and Holly, the thing that pops out in my mind, and of course I saw this last week with the school shootings, our school system, instead of educating our children, they are teaching them how to be communist activists and how they should be involved in social change by being active in an area that they have no business being active in. They don't have the education. They don't understand the issues. They may think they do, but they really don't.
I was just going to say they can parrot information, but that's not the same as having a grasp of the issue.
Exactly. They're parroting what the others, the teachers' associations, and the political activists are telling them to say. And they may think that they're being really wise, but I can tell you, I was not very wise when I was 16, 17 years old.
Oh, my goodness, no.
Yeah, you haven't lived long enough to know all the things that you need to know.
You have no frame of reference, and so often, and just as you were speaking, I was thinking of 16 and 17-year-olds, and it reminds me to think about the movie The Sound of Music and the empowerment of the youth. And I remember the young man, Rolf, who was 17, in love with Von Trapp's daughter. And in just a few short months, he went from being a happy young man to somebody who was ready to turn them in on the rooftop. And I had the privilege, as I did the research for the books that I wrote, I didn't intend to, but I ended up making a lot of correlations between how Hitler indoctrinated children, and it's a technique. It's not, you know, it's not saying all environmentalists are Nazis or Hitler. It's simply saying there is a correlation when you go to school and you take over schools and dominate the curriculum with a political agenda. The children do not know what makes a society work or not work. And what the Greens are doing, I call it emotional blackmail, because it is eco-child abuse. It is scaring these children into believing all these doomsday scenarios. It's taking away our children's hope and their joy. And schools should not be a place of political indoctrination. They should be safe havens of learning. And we have got to fight that fight and return our schools to that, because the impact on our children, we would not send our children into the emergency room and expect them to do brain surgery, and we should not expect them to have the weight of the world on their shoulders and become political activists when it's eco-child abuse. We must stop it. It's very clear.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And, you know, we mentioned this earlier, but education now is more about training workers. And it's not about critical thinking, and it's not about classical education. We are training people, as you say, to have that collectivist mentality and to be groupthink, to be uniform, to work together and not be individualists.
It's absolutely that. And the idea, one of the things that John Kerry's organization talked about, and John Kerry's organization, Second Nature, is one of the leading education for sustainability organizations in the world, let alone the leading education for sustainability organization in the United States. And the goal of John Kerry, he started this in 1993, and it has progressed with a multi-million dollar budget to get them started, to go sell this to the schools, teach the teachers so they will train our children to have a different mindset. And the goal of Second Nature, it was to change. The goal of Second Nature, John Kerry's organization, was to change, use education to change the cultural, religious, social, economic, and political structure of our nation. So John Kerry's group has invaded, dominated education to change our children's mindset to a mindset that diminishes the value of individual success and is training students all across the board nationwide. It's in, I mean, over 500 colleges, and the target was the colleges because that's where our leaders are being trained, and when our leaders are trained, they go down and train the children. Teachers teach the teachers. And so this has been going on, again, since 1993, and as you mentioned earlier, there's a very strong foothold in our colleges and universities of this anti-American, anti-capitalist agenda. And it's all being blamed on the use of the environmental movement and creating a sustainable society is the basis that this was introduced into the schools. And what we have to do is point out the political agenda behind it and suspend these programs, because it's not about education. It is indoctrination. It is political indoctrination. It is the communist model of education. And on a college campus, you know, the claim of academic freedom has been used and overused, but it's pure and simple political indoctrination when you're starting with preschoolers and going right on up to the high school level of using every subject every day to turn our children against our nation.
No, you're absolutely right, and it is very much a anti-capitalist training ground, and that's what our kids are learning, is that capitalism is bad, and that collectivism is good. And, of course, that goes back to your comments about the social justice warriors. Social justice is redistribution of wealth, period.
Yes, that's it.
That's it, yep.
And you can't have a redistribution of wealth in the United States without the power to take the wealth and redistribute it. And the only way you have that kind of a power is, A, if you have a dictatorial form of government, like a communist form of government. So you've got to train the children to accept that, and under the pretense of alleged nonpartisan environmental education, that we need the kind of government that is in favor of controlling the wealth and redistributing the wealth, and that's what our children are being convinced to believe right now. That's what social justice is.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
We've got a lot of work to do.
No, we do. We're in a lot of trouble if we don't do something about it. Holly, tell me what your sense of the Trump administration. Have they been doing anything to try to battle back against these social justice warriors that we're talking about?
I think that Betsy DeVos has been assigned to go through and eliminate programs that are fluff programs in the Department of Education. But if Betsy DeVos does not have some of this information, it's a little hard to recognize when you have, say, for example, the Green Ribbon Schools program that was enacted under Arne Duncan and the Obama administration. Unless you understand the components of what that Green Ribbon Schools program is, then it sounds like a wonderful program. But when you understand that what green represents politically, you would not have a Republican Ribbon Schools program. You would not have a Democrat Ribbon Schools program. So you shouldn't have a Green Ribbon Schools program because the green represents Green Party. Mm-hmm. And there's no mistake. You wouldn't have you couldn't do that. And so what it's doing, again, subliminally, is training the children to believe that everything green is good, no matter what it is. And as I said, as far as Betsy DeVos, I think she's working to eliminate some of the fluff, but Betsy DeVos needs to have this information at her fingertips and understand what's actually happening out there and what some of these programs represent. And Second Nature was very instrumental, and the Campaign for Environmental Literacy, the Earth Day Network, National Wildlife Federation, I believe, very instrumental in organizing, creating, and pushing this Green Ribbon Schools program into the Department of Education, where it was embraced, and now it's I don't know how many schools nationwide. I don't have that fact on the tip of my tongue, but many, many of our schools are participating in this program, and it is definitely an indoctrination program, and it has a lot of power because, oh, my school is going to get an award from the United States Department of Education, so we all want to have green schools. So, and we all want to be green. We all want to go green. So it has a very definite psychological, it's a benefit to advance the environmental agenda, but it's not beneficial to our children. We need to get back to the American standard of education, and this is what We Choose Freedom is at the forefront of addressing the issue of political indoctrination in our schools, and the American standard of a politically neutral public education is an essential safeguard to free thought, individual freedom, and the democratic process. And we as citizens need to lend our voices to the We Choose Freedom campaign. Groups, organizations, sign on to the We Choose Freedom Coalition, because we need to insist that we return to a politically neutral public education, and we can get the job done. We're not out of time, but we absolutely have to join together and focus on getting this out of our schools. And the problems that we've seen in our schools, from drug use and suicide and shootings, tragic situations, all lend itself to why we need to get back to a classical education and remove all these very harmful social programs from our schools.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and politicization of everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, guns, drugs, suicide, you name it. Everything has become politicized, and in the process, we've drifted further and further away from classical education, and now these kids go to school. I mean, there's some of them that still learn in spite of the education system, But the fact is that they spend way, way too much time dealing with social issues and very little time dealing with classical education.
And exactly. And where do we land in the world, you know, on the education ladder? And our teachers, I've talked to, I cannot tell you, countless teachers who are so frustrated they're ready to throw in the towel because they cannot teach. Some of them have to teach from a preset text, or they have to start teaching and stop teaching on a clock instead of being able to teach until the children learn and be able to teach their subject. A superintendent in Northern California School District came up to me after a discussion and said, I hate to agree, but I agree. Our teachers don't have time to teach the math or the science because they're too busy on the social issues.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to get that reversed. They need to have the time, the respect, and the support to teach what they were taught to teach and not have all this political pressure to teach other things. So it's not a hard solution. When you look at my grandmother left school when she was in the eighth grade because she was part of the Depression era and she needed to go home to help the family. But that eighth grade education way back then carried her through her entire life successfully.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to get back to a classical basic education for our children and eliminate the political pressure and all the social pressure for all our children to conform to this agenda in our schools. It's when you talk about child abuse, and I said eco-child abuse and emotional blackmail, we really need to take a look at this agenda from a standpoint of harm, not benefit to our children, and harm, not benefit to our nation, and harm, not benefit to our teachers. And, you know, many people have said, well, we should just throw in the towel again on public education. And my position is, if you have the opportunity to homeschool your children, by all means, do so. Our schools are not necessarily safe places. Yet, we have 70 to 89% of America's future voters attend public schools, and that's 70 to 89% of the direction our country will take if all these voters are brainwashed to adopt communism as an environmental goal. It's not fair to the children. It's not good for our nation. We have a political indoctrination problem nationally. It's an issue of national security. And when you mention the Trump administration, truly, we need federal intervention to help change this because I believe in local control. I believe in state control. But the environmental movement's domination of public education has just overwhelmed schools. And so we need a little help to get these programs suspended and evaluated from a standpoint of national security.
Well, and Holly, I think a lot of people underestimate just how deep-seated these programs are in our entire education system from top to bottom. And, we are dealing with a situation where we are very definitely on a very thin edge of being to the point of no return. And I think that they're in a full court press right now. I mean, I see what's going on, the attacks on Trump, the attacks on just good American values. The attacks that are going on now are so intense, it tells me these people are dead serious about getting this agenda through and completed, and we will be living under communism within a matter of a generation, and they fully intend to see that happen.
When you say full court press, that's exactly what we're seeing. When you see this Ninth Circuit Court case going through, and not one concern for the usury of these children as a shield, and the precedent-setting case that this would be, if successful, is part of that full court press. Earth Day Network, full court press. The NEA jumping on board with the Portland Public Schools resolution and encouraging their some 3 million members and affiliates to basically go forward and duplicate the Portland Public Schools resolution in school districts nationwide. Now, if the American people are not forewarned of that, then what has happened in Portland can happen nationwide, just like a cookie cutter. So we can turn it around, but we have no time to waste to understand the situation in our schools in education and the harm. We don't look beyond. We look at the school, the shootings, the absolute tragedy of that. It can't even, words cannot even describe that.
No, but you're right.
Words cannot describe. I mean, the parents, the harm, the sadness, the broken hearts. But we have to look as well as at this part of the tragedy, that part of the tragedy. We have to look closer at the curriculum and get back to, as you said, I believe that is absolutely the solution, is if you're not going to shut the public school systems down and start over, you need to get the public school system back to a manageable place where actually education is the goal, teaching the children how to read and write and arithmetic and history that hasn't been rewritten, including some national pride, including some understanding of Christianity as a basis of the founding of our nation. Some of these key points are rather important, and if we would focus on those basic points, rather than all this other, our children, I think, would be happier, and they would be smarter.
Yeah,
and
no,
we would not be behind the eight ball globally.
Yeah, no question about it. Holly, I hate to say this, but we're running out of time, so I want to make sure that you get an opportunity to talk about your books, Training for Treason and Set Up and Sold Out, and then tell our listeners how they can get a hold of you if they want to support your organization and things in ways that they can help to spread the word.
Okay, I thank you for that opportunity very much. The books, just to give an outline, Set Up and Sold Out is a documentation of the agenda of the environmental movement, where it began really, and how this agenda has been advanced, how the political agenda has been slipped into place. Training for Treason, the Harmful Agenda Behind Education for Sustainability, is a specific documentation of what's happening in our schools as far as indoctrinating our children with education for sustainability and how that mirrors communism and humanism, et cetera. Really, to understand what's happening in our schools, Training for Treason can be read in a day at the very most, too. It's a workbook, and it's designed to help our political leaders, our pastors, our teachers, students, others, parents, families, friends, business leaders, understand what's happening in our schools and the seriousness behind it, how it mirrors communism, and why we need to do something right away. Those books can be both purchased through Amazon. You can also call our 800 number, and that is 877-715-5481. And again, what can we do about it, which is so very critical? We Choose Freedom is a national campaign at the forefront of addressing this issue. You can email us at wechoosefreedom@earthlink.net, and we can send you information. You can call 541-830-1446. Give us a detailed message, and we'll take it from there. This is one of the most important issues of our time, stopping the political indoctrination of our children. And this is something that everybody can do something to help. Spread the word among your family, spread the word among our political leaders, and help us elevate this issue on the national level. Through the media, as I said, through multiple channels, through programs like this, we need to get the word out because the time is running short.
It is. Well, Holly, thank you again for being our guest, and
My pleasure. I look forward
to the next time we get a chance to visit on this very subject. And with that, I thank our listeners for tuning in. And Kelby, I turn the program back over to you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes this week's show with Connecting the Dots with Dan Happel. God bless. Good night. We'll see you next Thursday, 6 p.m. Pacific.